Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and we are simple together again, once more in a beautiful way, on the 16th day of May. So, happy May time for all of you. And it is its own season. I really do believe in ancient times, so many places around the world, there was some equivalent of May Day. It was really the month where in the northern hemisphere, spring could be celebrated and confirmed, like, yes, we've got the new year of growing. And I was just thinking about something that has changed globally in my lifetime, of a big deal. You know, since, I would say, about the 1950s, starting about 1960, over three quarters of the wealth in the United States was based on some kind of land owning or land production. We were still an essentially agricultural nation. If you look at other countries around the world, they too were, and in some places still are, that's their main production. And throughout the history of our civilized world, we lived with the seasons. We lived with the land. And so what happened with the seasons on the earth was a really, really big deal. And so many of the parables that Yeshua offered to the apostles and the communities on the hillside and left to us had an agricultural base. The pruning of the vine, the tree that would or would not yield. To study these things. And, the fish and it's not just in the Judeo-Christian religion, but every culture in the world. And I was thinking how amazing it is to just really reflect upon the seasons, because it ties us in with our ancestry. And I'm not talking about just grandpa and grandma. I'm talking about going all the way back to when we first became a sustainable community, that where people could actually live together, take care of one another, and provide for their supply. So because of that, in almost every culture, May is an extremely celebrated time of the year, just as harvest time is, with the harvest moon and the harvesting festivals that were global. We used to, back in my generation, I don't think now, but the school systems were entirely timed on freeing the kids up to go help the family out with the agricultural production. When that was over, school started again. And the winter time was our time of moving indoors and becoming contemplative. And most of the major religious holidays are in the wintertime, when people are free to internalize. They're free to internalize and rebuild the temple in which they live. So in the summer, we go out and we celebrate the temple of our earth, Mother, who created the roots of our life. And we enjoy her fruits, her bounties, and opportunities to play in all of her wonders and delightful opportunities. I don't know how to say it. You know as well as I how beautiful it is. And we are just glad to be here celebrating together these fruits of life. So I'm going to take a look at What really brought that up to mind quickly was something as simple as we didn't have electricity most of the day today. So I had been texting with Tony to make sure he could be a team member today and catch the board if I couldn't get on. But right 15 minutes before, hey, we get electricity, gives me just enough time to bring up the computer, and here I am. So the will of God always works with us, whether it's in spring, summer, winter, or fall. It will just be there. And for us, as humans, as children of God, the best way to be with God is internally. Celebrating our connection in the heart. Pulling together our personal feeling, our integrity, our sense of personal well-being, and letting that flow into the external world. That then keeps us back. We get back exactly what we give. And that's kind of the way it works. I didn't have a specific presentation ready today, but you know, it always happens when our community members speak up. So that's where we go next. And I'm going to open the line to Tony so he can tell you about his progress in healing. He is continuing to have positive progress, and we thank God for that. Tony, you're on.
Thank you, Glenda. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yeah, I actually have a visual test tomorrow. I'm going to have a CAT scan. And so we'll see what visual indications there are of my progress. Hopefully there'll be some there as well. And then I have a couple of meetings this week with doctors, where we'll go over that stuff and tweak the plan. But yeah, I feel a little bit less pain the last couple of days, which is a very good sign. Just not having to manage as much pain is always something that's just helps things work better. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the pain, but I'm sure you'll come through it.
Thank you. Thank you.
My faith is strong for you, Tony.
Thank you very much. I can certainly feel that, and I'm very grateful for for all the love, faith, and prayers and blessings that are coming my way. Thank you so much. Thank you, God, for the help of the healing. So there was something that really hit me strong just before last week's call, and for several days I've been working on a poem, and usually I try to write a poem for my wife before her birthdays and Mother's Day and stuff like that. It's kind of a tradition. Well, this time it seemed a little bigger, so it turned out that way. But I didn't get a chance to read it because we had so many calls last Sunday, and they were so amazing all through the call. So I'm sure that it won't be as obvious because this is a week later. But for some of you who called and made specific points, I think you may see the synchronicity in all of this too. So I'm just going to share the poem. It's about 8 lines.
That would be great.
Okay.
It's lovely. It's lovely. Tony already shared it with me, and I can tell you. So just relax and take it in.
All right. The children of God are beings of light. Our beloved brother Yeshua affirms this truth so bright. When light beholds existence, it shines, it sees. When light beholds existence, it sees ever more light. When distracted, a fragmented darkness divides. Mothers and children beholding their light, let go all refractions and wake from the night. Thank you.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. I do love it so much.
When you had, you mentioned Mother Mary right off the bat on last week's call, which was lovely as always. But then a number of people, they also made comments, some about Mother Mary and just some about their own connections and the things that were coming through most powerfully. So at one time I heard somebody say something like that. Wow. It feels very, very synchronistic and connected. So thank you to everybody for sharing their feelings, insights, and connections for Mother's Day, because it reverberated in so many directions. It certainly came back and hit me.
Yes, I can see that in your, I can see it reflected in your words. It's really, really profound. And it summarizes a lot of basic truth that we all need to remember and amplify. Well, Tony, I am glad to hear about your progress. Sorry to hear about your pain. But it seems as though when we're in a healing mode, we do go through these ups and downs. And that's when faith pays off. That's when we need to really hold to the light and not allow the darkness to divide and fragment our faith.
Yeah.
So your poem was a beautiful reminder back to you. And my prayers are with you. I'm going to take a few more calls now. Jerome, you're on.
Oh, Glenda, Jerome up here in Minnesota, where it's 50 degrees next to Lake Superior. But anyway, thank you, and blessings, prayers for my wife, Jean, for her left knee. So she's needs that healing, and for the rest of the family. But blessings for you and all the people that call today. And so all of us are in God's light and love and peace and joy, and to enjoy our life and happiness. And thank you for everything you do.
Oh, you are so welcome. And my bread on the water comes back to me every week. So I am richly blessed. And most of the time, deeply happy. And when I'm not, it gives me an opportunity to just bring up the deeper wells of joy.
Oh, good.
You know, as I mentioned in several of our classes, there's a fundamental difference between happiness and joy. We like them both. I mean, are we going to choose between cheesecake or brownies? Well, how about both?
I'm going to send you a little note to the mail, too. So blessings with you for everything you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to elaborate on joy and happiness, because I think that is, it pertains very directly to how we open up to receive blessings.
Yes.
Sometimes when we're not doing so well, our happiness sort of wanes. It drops in volume, shall we say.
Yeah.
Because happiness is a direct result of how well everything's going in our environment, in our situation. And we work really hard, both through ourselves and with those we love and with our community, to create the best environment possible. And it's actually a very high motivating opportunity that God created for us, because if we only get our happiness from a good situation that involves others, we're going to love others as ourselves. We're going to do that. So, I mean, he set us up really well for how to create our happiness. But all that being said, there are times when a hurricane will strike, or a bad winter will strike, or we will have a health situation that causes pain and worry, and happiness is hard to find. But if our faith is strong, we'll find a deep well of joy. And this is what the saints have written about in their hardest times. And it's actually what marks, it marks the life of a saint, whether it's a famous saint like Mother Teresa or your everyday garden variety saint like your mother.
Yeah.
You know, it's it's what we write about and pay tribute to our heroes and our heroines and those who show up to teach school in the midst of the pandemic. And
they
feel like, well, there's no happiness around, but you know what? I'm in a state of joy just being here.
Yes.
That's what joy is. Okay,
good.
Joy is what you find from inside, this light of God within you that you can bring up. Literally, some of the great leaders and heroes of our 20th century, the ones that were closest to me because I grew up through their lives, such as Nelson Mandela, spent years and years and years brutally in prison.
Yes.
And then he emerged to be one of the great peace leaders of the world. And he talked about the joy he could have. United Nations leaders spent, I think it was 3 or 4 years in Auschwitz, the death camp in Germany. And he said that's where he discovered joy. And then he went on to understand how he could help the emerging nations that hurt so deeply find joy within the hurt from which they can use to recover. I think in a way, this is where the motivation to live a better life for self and others is the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that, my friends. It's essential. But I think what really magnifies our faith is when we learn to find joy.
Yes.
No matter what.
No matter what. Yes.
No matter what.
And blessings to Israel and Palestine, too. That's happening in the Middle East there. So they're having a war. So blessings on their countries anyway.
No happiness there. But may they seek joy. May they have joy.
May they have joy. Yes, joy, joy.
And actually, in the midst, as you read the Bible, you will find so many instances of great unhappiness
from
which a leader discovered joy in prayer and communion with God. And from that joy, he received answers of leadership that turned around failure into victory.
Right.
And superseded and overturned an enemy that did not have that understanding.
Good. Joy does everything.
Well, it does. Actually, and one thing I found, I can't pronounce this as a biblical truth because I haven't read it there, but I have found it in my life, and that is people who are intentionally being an enemy are blocked off from finding joy. They do not have joy.
Right.
Now, they may sit down at a banquet and have champagne and have some degree of momentary happiness because they think they're winning. Okay, that's possible. But they don't have any contact with joy. You cannot be an enemy to your fellow man and have connection with God.
So joy is that connection with God at a deepest level there is.
It is.
It is.
And God, and your connection with God is what triggers joy.
Yes.
So
there's a
great mystery secret here.
Good. Thank you for sharing the secret of joy and God and light and love and everything else too.
And transcendence and victory. So it has a great deal to do with what we are asking for.
Yes.
And revealing through the blessings of Christ.
Ah, the blessings of Christ. Yes. I love
that. Well, Jerome, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And I'm going to move on.
It's a pleasure with you, too. And blessings.
And open
the conversation.
Okay,
thank you, thank you. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you, too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Susan, hello.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everybody in the community. You know, I want to say that I recently subscribed to Discovery Plus. I was struggling with it. Do I want that? And there were some shows, but I didn't want to, you know, go for the extra money. And, you know, then they advertised Super Soul Sunday was going on. And I said, that's it. I'm doing it. I want to watch Super Soul Sunday. So I happen to love that show. And Oprah had on, I watched it yesterday, and she had a person by the name of Sharon Stone who told the most incredible non-physical story of, you know, of parts of her life that were just astounding. And she also wrote a book, I'm not sure, Twice, Live Twice or something. It was marvelous. And then right after that, John Meacham, who wrote, I believe that's his name, who wrote a book about what's going on in the country and so forth. And also, interesting, in very, very, very good interview. And he said, one of the things he said is, you know, talking about some of the horrible stuff that Americans have done and been through. And, you know, he says, so that's who we are. And she, you know, had read the book, she meaning Oprah, saying, oh, yes, that is who we are. And that's kind of how she ended the interview. And I'm thinking, well, no, that's not really who we are. That's who we might have become, you know, and that can happen as you travel off the road of being who you are. But so it was the only thing to me unfortunate about the interview was that. But, you know, he was miraculous, and I love what he said, so much wisdom. I guess he's an historian rather than a political figure. Again, I don't know much other than what I watched. But he said something interesting. He said he had a very privileged life. He grew up as a white man in this country, and all doors were open to him. And he a few times quoted what came from Jesus, so I'm assuming he was a pretty religious man. And he said, with regard to himself, those who much have been given, much is expected. And I chuckled because I remember hearing that from you numerous times. But I just, there's a lot of good stuff. And, you know, and it's wonderful to be a part of it. And just want to share that. So, thanks.
That's
love
great.
You all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And
thank
blessings
you.
To you.
Thank
as
you.
Always.
Thank you.
And we have someone from area code 928. That's my old stomping ground. Bella? Is it Bella?
Hi, Glenda. This is Aria.
Oh, Aria, hi.
Yes, I met you when you were here in Sedona a long time ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember.
That's amazing.
Oh, fond memories.
Yes, we sure miss you here. Well, I have a lot of compassion for everyone and Tony and, you know, physical pain because I have a lot of that. And the poem, and I feel like I'm part of the community, even though I haven't called that much. I'm just a little overwhelmed with all of it right now with the physical part. So I'm just asking for, like, some type of a release, a liberation from the pain, maybe, and learning whatever it is I have to learn from what's going on with me, my physical body.
Okay. Good.
You know, and I'm still dizzy, but they said now it's coming from my neck. It's a cervical vertigo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have, cervical vertigo.
Yeah.
Okay. That can be extremely annoying.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. But this too shall pass. There
That's
are
it.
Remedies for it, and it will pass. And for everything that is physical, there is a component of it in the mental, emotional, and spiritual realms. And that's something that you can do without having to go to a clinic. So this is where, especially where the blessings come richly to bear, because and it takes faith to just surrender. I would say that most illnesses have a component of resistance in them.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been demonstrated many times by Zen monks and other people in the yogic tradition. That is where you really are managing the body as a spiritual entity. In the Western culture, we see spirit as being something other than the body. But Yeshua taught that everything is spirit. It's just condensed to different levels. It, much the way H2O can be steam, evaporating into the environment, to the mm-hmm. atmosphere. Or it could condense into water, or it could condense into ice.
Right.
And then that can condense into layers and layers and layers of ice, such as form Antarctica. So and it's all H2O. It's all H2O. So remember that your body is a condensation of spirit, but not just one layer of spirit condensed. It has within it layers of condensed spirit that summarize every epoch of your life. And it may not be coming from the most recent epoch. It
right.
might be something in childhood, but it's all spirit. It might be something in your teenage years, but it's all spirit condensed. So, like Antarctica has many layers of ice. And eventually you can drill down to the core of the planet, but you gotta go through a lot of layers of ice to get to warm water.
Right.
So, I have found that I am benefited in every mode of healing when I stop considering my body to be a physical object that has to be repaired like an automobile. What causes that change is that I integrate with my body. And then the answers I come up with start applying. And really, it doesn't matter how much enlightenment you have. If it's all sitting 20 feet away from your body,
right?
It's not going to help your body. It, you get the point?
I do, and it's so apropos for me because I haven't really been in the body that much. So thank you. It's very helpful.
Good.
And yeah, I'm working on it.
And one of the ironies is that when we're in pain, we want to get away from that body
exactly.
that's hurting.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Zen masters have shown they can go and have a root canal. They don't need anesthesia. They just don't resist it. They're right there spiritually viewing the particles being rearranged, pushed aside, carried out, bye-bye this, hello that, okay, it's done.
Wow.
That's it.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. So like I'm learning to try to embrace the pain or the, you know, discomfort.
Yes. And you can. You can. I won't congratulate myself to the degree of one of the Zen monks because I did have pain relief. But, on my second hip replacement. I have a wonderful doctor. Oh, my. People wait years in line to get her. And it was a miracle that she saw me within 2 weeks, and there was a cancellation another week. I think that was the hand of God at work.
Yeah.
But I went back to her for my second hip replacement, and she said, you know, we have something new that I'm using with people that I think are ready for it. I don't use it for everyone. But she said, you approached your first replacement with such a sense of optimism and joy. I know you will go into this with the same positive attitude. And what it is I'm just going to give you a smile. I'm going to keep you awake, and I'm going to tell you everything we're doing, and I'm going to make you a participant in the surgical procedure.
Wow.
And she said, do you think you would like that? And I said, oh, man, I would love it. And when it was over, I had no pain. And she took me to the recovery room, and as soon as they had monitored all of my vitals and were convinced that I was stable, I was taken back to my room, and another nurse came in, put me on my feet, and we walked down the hall.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing. Well, I'm having, I also had a bang to my right knee. Somebody mentioned a knee. My right knee, the patellar, and it turned into patellar tendinopathy. So that's been going on since early November. Speaking of legs, I'm having trouble walking far, you know. But I will definitely embrace your teaching. I'm very grateful to you, and so much love and gratitude to you and to the whole community. Thank you.
You embrace you. And don't feel disappointed. Just like my doctor asked me, do you think you're ready for this? Do you think you want this? She said, not everybody would want it. Not everybody would stand to hear us talking about what we're doing. You know?
Right.
Not everybody would want to hear the saw go off.
Wow.
Go on. Turn on and off. Okay? So she said, this is not for everybody. She interviewed me. She had the courtesy, the vision, the wisdom to interview me. Okay, so you interview yourself.
Okay.
You may not be completely ready to just start running on that knee in faith that it's going to work, but you can interview yourself and say, okay, what am I ready for? Because the knee and I need to be in better communication.
Right.
And you can do that about everything. Somebody, I helped somebody cure the hiccups with just that. I said, you've just gone out of communication with your esophagus. You have. You've just gone out of communication with it. I said, can you talk to it? What? Talk to my esophagus? What? You got, are you nuts? And I said, no. Talk to your esophagus. What am I supposed to say? Hello? And I said, no. Here. Okay, I'll tell you how to start. Let's start on a level that will be right for you. Get a small glass of water, and you're going to take the tiniest sip of water, and you're going to focus on feeling it all the way down your throat, where it goes past the point of contraction that's causing the hiccup.
Right.
And then say, okay, can you let this water go by? It only took them 3 sips of water, and they got it.
Amazing.
Yeah. It is. There's an awful lot you can conquer with communication.
Well, thank you.
Because communication takes you into communion with the object or person that you're resisting.
Oh.
Or you're separating from.
Right. Yeah. Which was me.
Yeah.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much
for
that. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much.
And
okay.
It's an everybody answer.
Uh-huh.
It applies to us all because it's an instinct. When someone is unpleasant to us, we don't talk to them again. When something causes us unhappiness, we put distance between ourselves and it.
Right.
And eventually, it may be that that's the right thing to do, but not initially. Not initially, because without communication, you cannot create and develop understanding. And you must have understanding in order to know even what the problem is.
Wow. That works on so many levels, I'm sure, for me and everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, blessings.
So
thank
communication
you.
Is where
yeah.
you start. You don't have to start with love. That's
right.
Why it's so important to know that love is who you are. So no matter what condition you're in, love is always there. If you're there, love is there.
Right.
And you don't have to like or love everything on the outside that you haven't learned to live with.
Right.
You bring love into the situation because you are love. And what you offer to someone else is communication, which is inherently an act of love, even if they're your enemies and you like them. It's basically an act of love to have some kind of communication. It's called détente.
What is it called?
Détente. Let's call a truce.
Right. Right.
And talk.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, all right. It was great talking with you.
Same
and I'm
here.
Gonna move on. All right. You're on my list and in my heart.
Thank you.
And you're in Sedona, which is also deeply in my heart.
She still loves you. We all do, always.
Oh, I miss you so much. David, here you are. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is David. I just wanted to add a few people to the list. Janice, myself, and our moms who we are in a quasi-caretaking relationship with, Eleanor and Cynthia. And that's all I was going to say.
Okay. Okay, that's Eleanor and Cynthia.
Yep, yep. And
all
thank
right.
you so much for what you, thank you so much for what you do.
You're welcome, and God bless you. And I know that you will be blessed. You just have to, you know, this is a message for everyone. You have to be patient and communicate with your blessings. That's why I ask you to go and rest. Because, you know what? If you just get right up after the blessing is given, you will go into communication with the environment. It's just natural. You'll look out the window. You'll see the dog needs to be taken for a walk. Somebody in the family is hungry. I'm not saying anything is negative. It's all positive, but you go into communication with what's out there. And I want you to give yourself time to be in communion with your blessing. There may be no words to it. There may be nothing that you feel at first. And you may even fall asleep, which is okay. It's all right because you're in communion with the very thing that's been given to you. And when you are asking for blessings for someone else, you can suggest that at some moment in that day, they be in a little meditation and receive blessings that are being offered to them. And you can describe it this way, is that we remembered you in prayer. You were remembered in prayer today. So now, just meditate on that and receive the rewards of prayer. That you can use whatever language is comfortable and familiar with those who are receiving. Because this is not about, there is nothing we do that's about conforming anyone to any particular belief or belief system. Yeshua was not for that. I'm not for that. And nothing we do is about that. So feel free to translate the language into whatever works, because God speaks all languages. God is with all people and in all people. God doesn't need religion. He needs you. He loves you. And that's what matters. Okay. Moving on. We've got Nancy on the call. Hello, dear.
Hello, Glenda and everybody on the call. I wanted to ask for a special blessing for two people. I have a friend. Her name is Kim. And her 28-year-old son recently died of COVID. And it was unexpected. They thought he had been healed and he was okay. And then he had trouble breathing and he went to the hospital and he passed. And it was such a blow for them. It wasn't expected. And so they need a lot of loving comfort and energy and blessings for those who mourn. So special blessing for Kim. And then I have another friend.
And what is her son's name?
You know, I don't remember her son's name. I got this information in an email, and I haven't seen her since the pandemic began. So,
well,
but
God knows, so that's okay.
Yes, God knows. Yeah. And then the second person I would like a blessing for is named Donna, and she has ovarian cancer, which has metastasized. And so she is in hospice care, and she's taking chemo, but it's extending her life, and there is not a strong belief that she will actually survive this health challenge. So I would like prayer for her. She's doing amazingly well emotionally and spiritually. I saw her yesterday, and she just is so vibrant. She's the one who was the opera singer. And I think God may need her in heaven to sing with the angels. The earth needs a lot of song right now, so.
Yes, it does.
God's will be done for her. But I ask prayers especially for her comfort as whatever is supposed to unfold, unfolds.
Yes.
And then the third thing I wanted to say is I had a trauma injury in 1992, and I've had some level of pain ever since then. And it's so true, if you try and fight pain, you lose every time. But one of the things that I found and that I love to do is a laying on of hands for myself. So if I get a higher level of pain in a certain part of my body, I just lay my hand there, and I just imagine that beautiful, loving energy of God moving from my sacred heart. You can actually imagine it moving from your heart to your shoulder and down your arm to your palm and your fingers, and just feel that warmth and just love that part of your body. And assure it that it is comfortable and that it is functioning perfectly and shining with Christ light. Just do a laying on hands for yourself. And you would see.
That's beautiful.
You wouldn't be amazed, but so often I lift my hand away and the pain is gone. So there are many things we can do that use that loving energy we have within us, not only for other people, but for ourselves. And that's the last thing I wanted to say. And thank you so much for your messages and your books. I just love every one of them.
Oh, thank you so much. And that is a beautiful teaching. And it's something that you, everyone could do in your 7 minutes of resting after the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful teaching. I love that. And thanks so much for sharing.
Well, thank you, Glenda, and thank everybody on the phone call. And for everybody who is experiencing pain or health challenges, all of us just send you so much loving, comforting light, healing light. Thank you so much, Glenda.
Oh, yes, and thanks for saying that, because actually I think so much of our blessings that we collectively receive come from the fact that we have all come here to be part of the blessing.
Yes.
And we were all created as children of God to bless the earth, to bless the animals and the plants and the whole energy of life that makes our earth what it is. You know, I'm at the point in my life where extensive world travel is probably pretty much out of the picture, especially considering political unrest in so many countries and COVID and who knows what will come next. But I will spend hours on my, just running through pictures of the earth on my computer screen. And
yes.
I just imagine being in these places and I read about it and I look at the beauties of this earth. So I'm kind of a mental traveler right now, but I'm just adoring God's creation and what so many tribes of humankind have created for thousands of years, thousands and thousands of years. I discovered this little high mountain valley in central China that has been there in operation for 10,000 years. 10,000
wow.
Continuously for 10,000 years. And it is so immaculately groomed. But the one thing I really noticed and respected is that they have not over-groomed it. It still actually looks like a native area. Just
wow.
Exquisite the way they live there. And I got so fascinated with them, I read something about their people and their habits and their beliefs. And they're one of the longest living communities on Earth because they
wow.
live so close to it, the Earth, and care for the Earth. And they're in communion with the Earth, which gets back to exactly what I was talking about before.
Yeah.
There's another community of people in the Asian area, the Hunzas. And the Hunzas have this, they live very close to the earth, but they have this practice that everyone should grow their own garden. And you eat what you grow, because what you do to cultivate the earth, what you do to rebuild the soil from which your garden will grow, exactly tells the earth what you will need. And then you eat what it produces for you. And their state of health is extraordinary. Their longevity of living is one of the longest. And their happiness level, which is the most important thing, is just extraordinary. You rarely see one of them that isn't smiling. Even if they don't have a tooth in their mouth, they're smiling.
Yeah. As you were talking, Glenda, I could feel that beautiful energy that radiates from those places. As we
yeah.
see the beautiful areas of the earth, we can just, it just lifts us up to that high place. Every time I see a beautiful picture of the earth, or when you were describing these valleys and these people,
mm-hmm.
I just say, thank you, God.
You know, I was
wonderful.
Looking online at a really beautiful community in Siberia. Now, that's a place, really, realistically, I will not travel to in this lifetime. But it was extraordinary. And
wow.
I think of Siberia as being, you know, tundra and iced in most of the year. And I'm sure that's a big part of their life, but they have learned to live with it so exquisitely.
Wow.
That I was thinking, how amazing that they have created their own little wonderland with natural boundaries around them called ice. They're doing life the way God created it.
Wow.
And, you know, I am just, I'm actually looking for more types of essential oil that grow in the wild. Everybody is loving the wild Arabian rose. And the reason is because it's growing right where roses grow the best in the desert. They cannot stand humidity.
No,
they can't. And where we live, we have to spray them with so many things that who knows what we're probably half smelling rose and half smelling malathion.
Probably.
Yeah, really.
You know what they call the roses that grow in Florida with all the humidity? Knockout roses.
Oh.
But anyway.
Well,
it's
true.
Struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I personally ask for blessings for healing the earth and bringing us all back to the core of our personal reality where we are one with God, where miracles will just bloom and grow every day of our life and beyond this physical life into a greater life that is more than we can even imagine. So I think that's a good way of wrapping up. No. I'm not going to wrap up. We got two people left. Hi, Sarah. You're on. Let's just ask for a blessing, though. Okay?
You got it. Aloha, Glenda and beloved community. Three blessings I want to ask for. One is just any numbness in me or others. May that heal. May it soften. I want to be able to feel more. So blessing, Christ blessing for that. A Christ blessing for my home and for all my brothers and sisters. Any fire, danger, flood, may all of our homes be safe and protected and secure for us. And then this one fits right in with what we're talking about. A blessing for the bananas. My friend in Costa Rica said that they're struggling. Blessings. May the bananas prevail and for all of this beautiful earth.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. And we've got you. Most importantly, God's got you. Pardon me. Okay. Stormy, we're going to bring you on for our benediction.
Yes, Glenda, a blessing for the sound healing frequency that you can get from the telephone app, Google, but it is 174 for pain. You can listen to it for an hour, 6 hours, or all night long for 9 hours. And it is, if I listen to it all night long, I find I do not have to take any leave for the pain that I'm in. It's quite helpful and beneficial. But again, that's 174 hertz. And you just
hertz.
Call in sound. Yeah, hertz. You call in sound healing frequencies and lots of apps come up for it. And you find the music and the notes that you resonate well with. Best way of doing it is with headphones, if you've got a binaural beat that goes left and right, 15 minutes is all that's needed for that. But if you listen to it all night long, you're not going to wear headphones. But again, that's sound healing frequency, 174 hertz. There's also a frequency for the earth, since y'all have been talking about the earth, that you can listen to, and so many more that you can find on your own.
That's wonderful.
I do wish a special blessing for the Christ Truth League. Don't know if you know, but Mike had a stroke 2 years ago.
No, I didn't.
And Dr. Applegate's wife is retired, living with a son or son-in-law in Granbury, and Paul Nichols is pretty much taken over. Mike is still in practice as a doctor, but he's struggling there. I talked with Paul a couple of days ago and just wanting to know what was going on with them. So a special placing for the Christ Truth League, which you know we hold so dear in our heart, for where people can go see the Lamb and the Lion.
Yes. Stormy, you have my phone number. Would you send me a text message with Paul Nichols' number? I would like to call.
I'll try.
Okay. And any other information that you provided here, just send that to me with a text, because I'm not in a place where I can write down all of that information. But thank you so much, Stormy. This is very helpful. Very, very helpful. And I'm so glad to receive it.
All righty.
And for everybody else, getting back to our blessing and the topic of the blessing, the sound healing frequency just confirms and affirms the very essence of what we're doing with this blessing. All of the universe is energy. It's energy at one frequency or another. And pain is when these frequencies are conflicting. They're not in sync. They're in cross vibe. And so I hope that makes sense to you, that love and faith and communication can help smooth these vibes out, allowing you to be experiencing less pain, more hope, more comfort, and more connection with the universe. And sound healing frequencies are a very powerful way of contributing to this and extending the blessing. The one great thing about what we do on Sundays is we know this energy comes from our Heavenly Father, by His grace, by the love of Christ, and through the conveyance of the Holy Spirit. So we know that what we're receiving is going to comb out the tangles. Does energy get tangled? Yes, it does. It does. And tangled energy will crash your computer. Tangled energy will shut down the power in a transformer outside your house and you have no light. So yes, energy does get tangled. It gets tangled in our body, and where it's tangled, there's pain. There's a blockage. And the faith we have to surrender to Christ, the Holy Spirit, and our Heavenly Father is what allows the energy in that will comb through those tangles. And, you know the rest. I hope that you have all experienced the blessings that come from God, whether in these sessions or other experiences with inspiration and the universe, or times you're in church, in song, or walking in nature, and you just simply surrendered to the presence of God, and everything was made new. That's how it happens. We're going to now surrender into our personal silence. And blessing givers, will you join me so that we may offer the blessing to everyone here, everyone assembled. And I know we're taking a little bit longer lately in our presentation, but I think it's extremely valuable to bring in participation from the community. Because it's not just me being here. It's all of us. Together, uniting in a common purpose. To be together in the energy of love. A spirit of faith. Service. and surrender. So be there now. Relax and just uncross your legs, uncross your arms. Remember what I said about tangled energy. We don't want any tangles coming through your body. We want it to flow from the stratosphere down through your body into the earth, connecting with the earth and back up through your body. Okay? After that happens with straight lines a few times up and down, it will naturally start crossing over in your heart. And that allows your right and left side of your body to connect. And for your heart to become a more powerful center than your brain. Because your heart knows love. And your brain, while it's very smart and very useful in managing your body, it's built to solve problems, which means it looks at everything in a divided way. It's a this or it's a that. And how do we solve the problem connected to this where that doesn't get along? That's how your brain works. And it's good. It's good. It has a purpose. But it's not particularly good for healing. Your heart is what's good for healing. So while we are conducting this energy through you, just surrender, receive, and be in prayer. And the reason for your prayer is it focuses the energy a little bit more on you. You become the receiver, and it's specially targeted for your receiving capacity for energy that has a signatory vibration of its own. You're like a fingerprint. There's no other one like you. And what is meant for you comes in for you. That's why it's important to ask. As Paul said to one of his churches, you have not because you ask not. You see, the whole universe is full of blessings. But it's like TV signals. And you're wondering why you don't get them. And a friend says, well, why don't you go buy a television set? You might get some of them. Well, Paul would say to his friends in his community, pray and ask for what you want. Here we go. Let us just be still. Let's open with a very deep breath. Hold it and then slowly exhale. Another one. Hold it and then exhale. Let your shoulders drop. Let your legs relax. Unclench your hands. Let them fall to your side. Be weightless in your chair or your bed or wherever you are. And be open. Dear Yeshua, we're here to be with you. We're here with each other, being for each other, and being here for you to receive the blessings of our Father conveyed by the Holy Spirit. You know our needs, but we ask for them that we may receive. Our Father knows everything that's coming. But we ask to be attuned to what's coming so that we may be in a spirit of hope and expectation. The Holy Spirit knows our heart and our language, and it's here to listen. We ask to listen for everyone who doesn't know to ask. We ask to be receivers for a larger blessing that can spill forth from us to assist those who don't know to receive. And we ask for our earth that she be enriched with all the bounties of our Heavenly Father. her creator, who loves her dearly. We ask forgiveness for all that we were unable to do for ourselves and others. We have faith in your ability to send those blessings now, that they may be received by those we love and care for, and by all of nature, the earth, and humankind. In your blessed name, amen. Let us start, blessing givers. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and richly receive. Just be quiet. And let the blessings be written into your heart. Bye-bye for now. And I hope to be with you again next week. Have a wonderful week.